Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to the first edition of the Curtain Call podcast. New name, we have no more enemies to get to know, but as always, Wednesday nights, Jeffrey Benedict, Michael Beck. Jeffrey, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good again.
So you've already gotten the sting of that wild card playoff loss out of your mouth, I assume?
I mostly just don't think about it.
You know what?
I broke down the film and I move it on to other film. I'm like, I'm going to watch other film. I'm not going to watch that again for a while and I'm okay.
For me, I think it was watching Baltimore and Cleveland lose. And I'm like, okay, I can get back into the playoffs a little bit here. That took a little bit of that edge off.
Yeah. Dude, if Baltimore was playing Cleveland to go to the Super Bowl, I'd just be like tearing my hair out. I don't have a lot, but I'd tear what I have out.
I probably wouldn't watch that, to be honest. It hurt too bad.
Just be like, why? This is. It wouldn't even be good football to watch either. You'd be like, oh, we watch this twice a year. No one likes this game.
You know what? Like, they did have the game of the year on that one Thursday night, though, where they went back and forth. That was an outstanding game to watch, as much as it pains me to say.
Game without defense. I don't care.
Exactly. Well, the news of the day today, of course, is Philip Rivers announcing his retirement. Some pretty big news because now there's only three guys remaining from that 2004 draft class. Of course, Andy Lee, the punter. I believe he's still punting for the 49ers. And Larry Fitzgerald still there in Arizona. His future's up in the air. That last guy out of those three, Ben Roethlisberger, and it's going to lead us into the topic of the show. Ben Roethlisberger, he is that last quarterback from that 04 draft class. And tonight we really wanted to talk about who we think at this point, who's in and who's out. And Ben Roethlisberger, obviously massive cap hit, aging. Who knows if he wants to play in whoever this next offensive coordinator system is, because as of right now, we still don't know who it is, even though we thought it was Matt Canada. There's a whole lot going on here, Jeffrey. So just trying to get to what I'm trying to get to. Ben Roethlisberger, is he coming back next year, yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely, you think he's going to be the guy?
He's not going down like that. He's not. Like, it's Ben Roethlisberger. Can you imagine him, his last game is losing to Cleveland in the playoffs? Like, he's absolutely owned them. He held, like, wasn't it this year he lost, Baker Mayfield passed him for most wins in their stadium?
Yes.
That was this season. Like, he has owned the Browns. He can't go out with a loss to the Browns. You can't do that. Like, he's going to – what you're going to do, you're going to go back home and they're going to be like, yeah, we ended your career. Like, he's from Ohio. Like, there's no way he's doing that. He's got to come back. He's got to end his career with at least a win over Cleveland. So, for me, he's coming back.
You know what, though? Like, 501 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. That is a Ben Roethlisberger experience right there. If it wasn't the Browns.
Yeah.
That is the
quintessential Ben Roethlisberger experience. You're like, oh, he sucks. No, he's great. Oh, he sucks again. No, he's great. He's the best quarterback in the world. Oh, he sucks.
Oh, if we had 5 minutes left, we would have won.
Yeah, really.
In the flip side, say Matt Canada does get the job and he's like, no, we are running my system. I don't care what you say. Is he going to do that? Is he going to be a system quarterback that he doesn't want to be in?
There is stuff in Matt Canada's system he can run. I'll go back to my film room I said about Cleveland. My film room I had about Cleveland's offense. There is motion Ben does run. He's got to get better at it. And one of the points I'm making about Ben is he has to buy in, but they also need time. COVID restrictions for this season, where we are when the draft is happening, when all that is going to be a big deal, because if we can do OTAs, if they can meet in person, if he's able to get with Matt Canada, get with his receivers, really work on what the motion is doing, how it's affecting the play, that stuff, and really buy in and get accustomed to that system. Because remember, he couldn't throw for a long time last season. And then, like, for some of the offseason. And then, like, he's on a limited pitch count. You know, he's trying to build charisma with, you know, a relationship with his receivers. There's so much change over. They don't know what's going on. And if you remember in the offseason, they were talking about Matt Canada's working with the run game. Ben said that. Oh, he's working a lot with the run game. Well, yeah, well, we need him to work with the pass game now. Because when it was worked with the run game worked. Even with, you know, a makeshift offensive line, sometimes patched up and injured people, through 5 games, we're a top 10 running game in the NFL with Canada's motion. but it didn't work in the passing game. So this year, if Matt Canada is the dude, they got to get it working in the passing game, use what they can, get Ben accustomed to everything he can, and make it work, because it worked in Cleveland for Baker Mayfield. I still think Ben at this point in his career is better than Baker Mayfield is at this point in his career. That may change in a year. But at this point, yeah, I'm taking Ben. He could run that. He can run that.
Now, one of the things BTSC group chat was chatting about just before we went on the air was like Aaron Rodgers and completely buying into Matt LaFleur's system. And one of the things that happened to him this offseason, of course, their first-round pick, they pick up Jordan Love. They take another quarterback, and in all likelihood, it probably lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers. There's been recent mock drafts going as far as saying the Steelers might even trade into the top 10 of the draft once again, like they did when they went after Bush. Especially a guy like Lance, someone like myself, a fairly big NDSU guy, I would love the move. But do you think Ben Roethlisberger would even want to mentor a guy like that for a year? Would he be like more motivated to even play? Like we saw it with Mason Rudolph. He's like, nah, I don't want anything to do with this guy. Would Ben Roethlisberger be willing to kind of put someone under his wing, or the Steelers basically pushing a corner saying you're not going finding this guy's replacement this year?
Ben Roethlisberger would be Ben Roethlisberger. He would prepare to be the starting quarterback. And if he had time, be like, yo, hey kid, you know, this is how you throw a corner route. I don't really know how much a veteran quarterback, like if you have questions in the film room, you can ask them. I think Josh Dobbs talked about that at one point. Like, how do you learn from a veteran quarterback is when you're in a film room with them, you sit there and take notes. You sit there and look and you see, what is he seeing? What are they talking about? How are they doing this? And do I see what they're seeing? You know, that's really the big thing. What's Ben going to teach him? Like, Ben's not going to teach him how to throw a defensive lineman to the ground and throw a back corner, you know, shot to the end zone to win the Super Bowl. You can't just teach that. So for me, I think that's all overblown. Ben would be Ben. And hopefully if the Steelers did draft a new quarterback, they would sign another quarterback's coach, especially if Matt Canada ends up the offense coordinator or leaves. Get a quarterback coach. Don't be cheap on that.
Yeah, that's one of the things this offseason that the Steelers need to employ more coaches. They obviously have a lot of openings, but they had 19 coaches, which was the least in the league, the least full-time guys. But with Ben Roethlisberger, let's just say he plays this year and he plays like how Eli Manning did in his final year and just kind of gives up the reins. Is that something like if Ben plays poorly, are the Steelers just going to ride that into the dirt, or are they going to move on to Mason Rudolph or potentially a rookie? If Ben is truly back, is this his team no matter what?
I think for the most part, yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's not Tomlin. That's not the offensive coordinator. That's the owner. That's the ownership. The Rooneys have been ride or die with Ben Roethlisberger from the start. From 2004 when they drafted him, when the story goes that Dan Rooney was like, no, we're drafting the quarterback. Like, stop talking about it. Whatever decision they were going to make, the rumor is he went in there and was like, we're getting the quarterback. The quarterback's there. Get the quarterback. What are you doing, guys? Like, and ever since then, it has been. Ben is the franchise. The franchise quarterback is the franchise. So I think they're ride or die with Ben, but it's not like if he's playing his way out of the league where he is just that bad and it's clear that he can't play, they would move on. Ben would be like, you know what, I can't do it. I think Ben would actually pull himself and be like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done, if he really was. But I think he'll be all right. They just need a system that works with him, and they need to get him, you know, doing that system.
I actually believe it was, speaking of that draft, I believe it was Dave Damashek who said Bill Cowher actually preferred Philip Rivers out of all the quarterbacks in that draft, which who knows about history?
Long time story I've been saying, like, that's true. I remember back in 2004, like, he wanted Philip Rivers, and people would talk about, oh, is his throwing motion, and Bill Cowher would be like, he's just a winner. He going out there and won, you know, it doesn't matter his throwing, all this stuff, and he talked Philip Rivers into being the number two quarterback in that draft. Bill Cowher did that. That's my opinion. But Philip Rivers was the number three quarterback in that draft, or they were like, oh, who's number two? But it wasn't close. It wasn't like Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, who's better? It was Eli's number one, but who's number two? And Phillip Rivers ends up number two and playing for the team with the number one pick after Bill Cowher talked him up constantly. Of course, he had that great Senior Bowl too, but then the Steelers end up with Ben Roethlisberger and we're the only team he visited. There's all this stuff. At the time, I was like, is this like, did the Steelers pull a fast one? Did they really pull a fast one? Did they get the rest of the league looking at Rivers and then swipe Ben at 11? But I don't know. It's quite possible that Bill Cowher really was that much on Phillip Rivers. Bill Cowher's not the sneakiest guy. I think that's right. He wanted Phillip.
Yeah, from all accounts, too, from the Giants staff, if Eli actually wanted to play in San Diego, Ben would have ended up with the Giants. He would have been the number two pick, and Phillip Rivers probably ends up being the Steelers pick. So yeah. It's funny how history works out, but of course, those three QBs at the top of the draft, they had great careers. Ben just happens to be the last one standing. He's gonna end up with all the stats, be the leading stats guy. He has the two rings. Could he win a third? I mean, the Steelers would need some rookies to be really good next year for that to happen. So moving on from the Ben stuff, because of course there's a ton of guys that could be moving on. Like, this offseason is going to be insane. I think the reports that Pro Football Talk, so take it as you will, Mike Florio saying the cap might be $180 million, which is still like a significant drop off from this past year. That would seriously hurt the Steelers and seriously hurt some free agents. Almost basically mean they can sign guys that for vet minimum. And that might be what happens this offseason. That's one of the reasons why it's so scary. But one of the guys that has his ticket expiring in just a couple months is Juju Smith-Schuster. Very polarizing this year, of course. What should the Steelers do with the guy that's currently their number one wide receiver?
I think you have to let him go simply because you have Chase Claypool. You have Diontae Johnson. You have James Washington, who has shown he can step in when Juju's out and play well. So your drop-off statistically, your drop-off in the talent and the play is not small. Your drop-off in the production at the position that they were playing Juju Smith-Schuster isn't that big. It's not going to be huge. I am a Juju Smith-Schuster fan. I think a lot of the flack he gets is just dumb. He plays hard. I just did a film review of the first week watching Juju Smith-Schuster in that first week against the New York Giants. He was phenomenal. You watch him last year before he got hurt. He was phenomenal. He's going to go somewhere and be a really, really good number two. You know, he's one of those guys. He's not the number one, but he could be the best number two, like one of the best number twos in the league. He's that kind of player. So Juju, I don't think you can bring him back because you can't. He's not worth to the Steelers what he will be worth to another team. So other teams are going to pay him what he'd be worth to them, and we would have to outbid that. We would have to pay Juju Smith-Schuster more than he would be worth to another team, and he's not going to be worth that to us.
Yeah, and I think one of the teams that are kind of the betting favorite right now would be Washington. Him being the number two to Terry McLaurin, I think that would be an outstanding duo. And potentially the way it goes, the Steelers just don't have the money. I think you're right. I don't think they're going to be able to match whatever he's offered. So he's going to have to take a discount. Would he want to do that? Probably not. He's a West Coast guy too. If he gets an offer from home, him going to LA, of course, he's the big tech guy. So like that might just be an outstanding career move for him. So, and I would totally understand that.
My two big teams for Juju Smith-Schuster are Baltimore. They need a receiver. He would fit there. It's in that East Coast. And the other one is Arizona. I would love to see him go to Arizona. People talk about Juju having distractions where he focuses on his brand. He could go and play with DeAndre Hopkins, who is the CEO of a real estate company that he started. Like, the guy runs businesses and plays football. That would be a great mashup with Juju Smith-Schuster, because that's a dude who's like, dude, you want to build your brand? Let me give you some good business advice. Let me really get to you. And I think it would be good for Juju Smith-Schuster. And it would be phenomenal for Kyler Murray to have those two guys on the same team. That would be a great fit for Juju.
Now, you speak of the Cardinals, and something that I've talked about a lot. The Steelers, I think it'd be a mistake. I know the Steelers are really good at drafting receivers, but they don't have any veteran voices in the locker room outside of Ben Roethlisberger, who, by all accounts, really isn't the most sociable type. Yeah. So, in my opinion, I think they should be going after a veteran guy, whether or not they even play. like they could be like a bench guy just to like go through the motions and teach them. I know I mentioned Larry Fitzgerald. I know that's not the most feasible thing in the world. A friend of mine messaged me and said, what do you think about Julian Edelman? I don't think that's the personality, but I just think the Steelers should be going after someone a little bit older. Do you buy in on that?
I absolutely do. One of the things I've always said about Mike Tomlin is they have a veteran in the room. I loved the combination of Darius Hayward Bay and Antonio Brown in that locker room where you had Antonio Brown. He was a sixth round pick. He was a superstar because he worked his butt off. And then you had Darius Hayward Bay, who was a first round pick, who was a flop, who was still in the league. Why? Because he worked his butt off. Like, and so that was a great duo to show these young guys, be like, you can be a nobody and you can coming in and be a, and make it in this league. It doesn't matter. Or you can not have the talent to be a great a starting wide receiver and still make it in this league. The key element is you got to work hard. You know, they had that kind of combination. We don't have that now. We had Juju Smith-Schuster, whose idea of like his like, hey, guys, we need to have more fun. We need to have more fun out here. And that's when Juju's at his best, is when he's having fun. But that's not like that's not the veteran leadership you want in a room, is, hey, guys, let's try to have more fun and lighten up. Like, it just doesn't, that message isn't really what you want. I'd love Larry Fitzgerald, obviously. I had season tickets his last year at Pitt. I watched a lot of him play. I love Larry Fitzgerald. That would be a dream come true for him to come home. I don't even care. Come back to Pittsburgh, do whatever you want. Wouldn't matter. But
that'd
be good.
I think if he mentored Chase Claypool, that'd be perfect. They're like similar build, similar speed. Like they're very similar players. So like, if you could teach Chase Claypool to be Larry Fitzgerald, you'd have a really, really good receiver. And me being someone that says you should probably never re-sign your skill guys, you have to re-sign a guy like Larry Fitzgerald until he's done playing football. That's just the way it goes.
But, yeah, something like that level.
Moving on throughout this offense here, James Conner, the Steelers running back spot, it's already being hyper-criticized. We don't know exactly where they're going to go this offseason at this spot. I think a lot of it's going to be telling on who they bring in heading into the draft. I think after the second day of the draft, you know exactly what the Steelers running back room is going to look like. Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette was talking today in his mailbag that he thinks the Steelers will definitely go running back within the first two rounds. And he said if Najee Harris is there at 24, that's the pick, which is pretty insane to me as someone who's been avoid running back by all costs. But James Conner, he even said James Conner could be the guy that remains in Pittsburgh as the number two, or they go out and find a veteran guy like D'Angelo Williams, end of their career guy. Well, what do you think the Steelers should do in this case? James Conner, is he the fit at number two, or should they go looking for someone else?
Okay, I will say this. If you get a Najee Harris with the number one pick, James Conner, you would want to keep him. And the reason is, look, like, to me, James Conner is a Kareem Hunt. He's a guy that in the right offense that's creating space for him, like that Kansas City offense, which was ridiculous. No one's stuffing the run against Kansas City. Kareem Hunt went off against on Cleveland. He's a really good backup. When he starts, he's okay. You know, he's James Conner. Kareem Hunt is James Conner. And James Conner, to me, is the like ideal number two in that situation where he can be your third down guy. He can come in when you need to throw the ball a lot. Great in pass pickup, good running back, phenomenal receiver out of the backfield. He's that guy, and that really takes a lot of pressure off a number one back that you take to just be like, dude, when you come in, you got to worry about running and some basic pass blocking. Like, you don't have to run the whole offense. You just have to be dynamic, right? Do what you do. And James Conner can pick up the rest. James Conner can do anything in this offense. And he could, especially when you're talking Matt Canada, you know, if he's bringing back more of his stuff, bringing more of his stuff into the offense, James Conner's run it all. James Conner's run all of Matt Canada's weird stuff, sweeps. And he did all of that at Pitt. So he is, to me, a great running back to bring back if you can. But that's all on cost. I don't know what he's going to get on the free agency market. Like what would Kareem Hunt be worth on the free agent market right now? Like, I don't even know their value. I look at running backs today and I'm like, I don't know what anyone's paying these guys. I don't really know. And if James Conner is cheap enough, yeah, bring him back. Absolutely. If he's not, you got to let him go.
Yeah. I think one of the things with James Conner too, is that he's a Pittsburgh guy. So I think he might be more willing to take a discount. But like you said, who's paying running backs anymore? Like every single year, it continues the trend. If you sign a big contract, you're probably going to stink the next year and your career's probably over. Like, I don't understand why teams continue to sign running backs to huge deals. Like even Derrick Henry just had 2,000 yards, better each year in the league. But do you offer him a contract? Like, is he the outlier? That's what people have been saying about everyone. Like, at some point, you just kind of got to be like, it's the valueless position. Sorry, guys. Like, you should have been a receiver. Like,
yeah,
that's really what it comes down to. So maybe Connor can take a little bit less money. Yeah, I want to spend a lot of time on the offense line and a little bit on the tight end. So I do want to leave on one more question before we get there. When it comes to draft day, at this point right now, say the Steelers have three options. One, trading up to get a quarterback, say trading all the way up in the top 10. Two, staying where they are, taking a running back at that spot like Najee Harris, like Jerry Dulac suggests. Or three, taking a tackle at that spot. What are you doing right now?
I take the tackle. That would be my number one. Number two would be trade up for the quarterback, and number three would be running back. But that's if you have the coach, if you get the right offensive line coach, if you get the right offense, and you're saying what we really need is a running back with great vision who can do all this stuff, maybe that's the last piece. Maybe that's the piece that if you get this offensive, you get a good offensive line coach, you get Matt Canada's system, Ben is buying into it, and you say, if we had a Nick Chubb, you know, we could have this offense be like Cleveland's offense, be a legit top 10 offense, and add that defense to it. That's the only way you go running back to me, is if you really think that's the missing piece, is that running back. That's the only way you go running back.
I think that's the only time you draft a running back with your first two picks is when you feel like you are one guy away on offense. And I really don't know if the Steelers are at that point right now. I think if they go running back in the first round, they have to nail the next two picks on the offense line, period. Like there's no messing around elsewhere. Or like, you have to nail it.
Yeah. If they draft a running back, they are all in on the end of Ben's career. That's all they're signaling. They're signaling straight up, this is all about Ben. This is all about getting Ben a Super Bowl win before he's done. And that could mean like really, if they draft a running back with the first round, I'm looking for Ben to be extended.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, it's one of those things. A running back just doesn't carry the same value. And Najee Harris, he's 23 years old. He's not considerably young by any draft standard. So that'd be kind of go outside of the way of the Steelers loving to go after their underclassmen with their top picks. So it'll be something to watch as this kind of offseason develops. But continuing along, I know we still got a lot to get to on offense, but we'll mesh the tight ends in together here. Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron. I think Vance is probably as good as gone because he's got that team option. Do you see a world where either of the tight ends are coming back next year?
I think Ebron's back. Ebron really played well this season. This was one of his best, I mean, not statistically, but you watch his film, you look at the snaps he played. This was one of the best years of his career, other than stats. And he was a real weapon in this offense until the offense died. The offense really just, I mean, it really did. It just died. If they get a run game going, Ebron is such a weapon because he can block. And he's one of those guys that in that kind of a running game offense and where you have a lot of motion and stuff, one of the keys is your tight end someone who can block people. And like if you can cover Eric Ebron, he can block you. If you can handle Eric Ebron in a run play, you can't cover Eric Ebron. So Eric Ebron is a matchup weapon, and he matters a lot if you're trying to fix the scheme. So I think Ebron's back. I think McDonald's gone. And I think you see a backup tight end maybe, or you see someone brought in.
Yeah. Now let's, I think that's going to do it for the tight end. Sorry guys, but we really need to talk about the offensive line here,
yeah,
which is going to be like the most important offseason decisions there are outside of Ben Roethlisberger. It's going to be potentially a giant overhaul here. And I think we should start off at left tackle. Like there's been tons of rumors throughout this entire year, dating back to when we interviewed Zach Banner here on the show, that he suggested this potentially could be Alejandro Villanueva's last year. Do you think Big Al's back? He's a free agent. Is there any reason for the Steelers to bring him back if he wants to come back?
Well, when you have David DeCastro, Zach Banner, you have so many people on those teams. There's so many people in that organization who have stated this could be his last season. That's kind of telling you he's let them know that this is his last season. And they're just, they don't want to be on the record saying Alejandro Villanueva is done before he says it. He's done. He's gone. This is it.
So then continuing on with another guy with retirement rumors, that of course being Maurkice Pouncey. It's been talked about a little bit after the game. Some sources said he did retire, but that turned out to be false. He still potentially could be retiring. That also could affect Ben Roethlisberger. This, so Maurkice Pouncey, does he find themselves in the center, or is he gone no matter what?
I think Maurkice Pouncey stays. I would like him to stay. I am a Maurkice Pouncey fan. He's still got it when he's healthy. He really has it when he's not healthy. If you have to choose between David DeCastro playing hurt and Maurkice Pouncey playing hurt, I'm taking Pouncey. Like, honestly, Pouncey plays through crap. I know he's had a lot of injuries. I think he's going to come back another year. And I'm good with that. I would love to see him play on a line where he's got a healthy DeCastro on one side and Kevin Dotson on the other side. He looked good when that was the case. Even though he was playing through some injuries, he looked good. I want Maurkice Pouncey back.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Continuing along on that offensive line, and I want to put my two cents in here as well, because going back to that Jerry Dulac story, I know Jeffrey and I, we talked about it earlier. Jerry suggested that the Steelers, in their search of making some sort of salary cap decisions, they might be trading someone. And in that sense, the only real person that made sense to me that would be on the trade block would be David DeCastro. And he could be a guy that the Steelers could use to move up in the draft by pairing him with a pick. They might be trying to add another pick. I know Evan loves when I talk about J.J. Watt, so who knows if that's the one-for-one swap? Potentially, who knows? It's one of those things where you don't really know with the trade piece. But do you think David DeCastro is back, or do you think is he released? Is he traded? What happens with David DeCastro?
See, I think he's coming back. I think he is key if you're doing that one more year with Ben, which is the way I just – I'm assuming the Steelers are going to approach this. That's the way I believe they will, is one more year, maybe two with Ben. And so I think DeCastro will be back. If he does move on, you almost have to sign Filer. Like, you almost have to have, because you're not going to go in and be like, well, we just don't have a guard. Somebody's going to have to take that spot. Like, so I think DeCastro is likely to stay.
Now, before we get to the other guys, I know we talked about a lot of those key pieces on offense so far. The Steelers are going to have to find some money somewhere. Do you think they are going to be more in the market of extending guys to try to bring the cap number down? Or do you still think there's going to be some hard decisions made and some guys getting released?
Well, they're going to punt money back, especially if Ben returns. If Ben doesn't return, then maybe you play this out. You know, you take that $19 million, you make the best you can, you get a higher draft pick, and you get a lot of dead money off the books and start fresh with a year where the cap is probably going to go up substantially if things improve and they can actually have fans next year. Other than that, I think they're going to have to make some tough decisions, obviously, but I think you will see extensions, especially if Ben is back. But they're going to lose some people.
Okay. Now, rounding out our offensive line here, I think there's two names in particular we really need to get to. Matt Filer and Zach Banner. Of course, Zach Banner tore his ACL. He's going to have the max amount of time he can get to rehab from that sucker. So he should be 100% come season. What do you think happens between Filer and Zach Banner?
They have to bring back Zach Banner. You have to. No other team knows him like the Steelers does. He had one game. He looked pretty good in run blocking in that game. So for me, it just makes sense for him. It makes sense for the Steelers to get a one-year deal. I know he was really trying to be a starter so he could get a big deal after this one expired, but it didn't happen. So you're looking at a one-year kind of prove-it deal where we can say, hey, we don't have cap money. No one else has cap money. We'll give you a shot to win a job, you know. But you're going to do it on a lower contract. I like Banner a lot. I think that could work out really well for the Steelers. if they go that direction, you can let Matt Filer walk and say, we've got Chooks, we've got Banner, we draft somebody, and you're good. That's three. You know, if the rookie's not ready, then it's Chooks. You know, I think you'd see Rat Banner at right tackle, Chooks Okorafor at left tackle, and a rookie working his way in to taking over that left tackle spot. That would be kind of my ideal situation on the offensive line. You save a bunch of money, and you get good. You have the chance of having a really good offensive line.
Awesome. Now, that seemed like some pretty good timing there. We're right at the 30-minute mark. So if you're listening on the podcast side, click over to part two. If you're on Facebook or on YouTube, make sure just to sit tight. We'll flip over to the second part of our podcast here in just a moment. So just hang tight, and we will be back for part two shortly.